It is week two of the NFL season. It is time for another episode of the Roster Doctors. Bunch of injuries. We got a bunch of waiver wire moves that you're going to have to make. I'm Jim. He's Craig. Tony's on the phone with us as well.
No doubt. And it is time to recap week one. And guys, it was exciting. It was good to be back and good to have football pretty much all weekend long. Oh, man. You're right. We're going to get into a lot of things, a lot of guys who thrilled you and killed you in fantasy. We'll talk about some waiver wire pickups. But the big number coming out of this, well, the big story is coming out of week one, aside from the Antonio Brown situation, which got even crazier, is injuries. And, of course, one guy that you know pretty well, Tony, is Nick Foles. He had one heck of a pass for a touchdown.
Oh, my God. That was the prettiest dime that I saw all weekend.
And, unfortunately, it comes with him getting leaned on for a broken left clavicle. He's going to miss at least till probably week 10 or 11.
I think he's out for the year. I don't think you'll see him come back. I really don't.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Because like Jim said, that was a beautiful pass.
If you're going to have one pass, it's going to end your season. Let it be that one. Right? It's kind of like David. It's kind of like David Tyree a few years ago. If your last catch in the NFL is going to be one.
Is going to be that catch? Make it that catch.
No doubt. But it is tough for a lot of guys that are streaming quarterbacks and were depending on Nick Foles for some big matchups, including that one. Another one, a big one. And I know, Jim, you're hurting with this one. Is Tyreek Hill.
Oh.
Hospitalized with a shoulder injury against Jacksonville in that same game. He's expected to miss a few weeks. And for a lot of guys, that's their WR2. That's their wide receiver two in a lot of leagues throughout the country.
He was out early too.
Yeah.
And that's what really hurt, because it was like, you know, 1:30 rolls around and you're seeing Tyreek Hill out. What?
Sent to hospital.
Sent
too.
To the hospital. Yeah,
so
that's
he ain't
too.
Even coming back in. He's not even in the tent.
Yeah, he's nowhere in the building, so you know he's not at least out for this week. Got me a whole 2 points this week. And I was just like,
yeah, no doubt. The injuries continue. Of course, there's a couple of running backs that got dinged up. Tevin Coleman, a high ankle sprain in his first game with the Niners. He's going to miss a few weeks as well. And then a lot of guys who are depending on Darius Geis to be a big producer, as were the Washington Redskins. It looks like
karma once again shines on Jay Gruden.
Torn meniscus in his knee. He will miss some times. A significant time, probably. And then the guy that was a healthy scratch because Jay Gruden wanted to cut him now is going to have to end up being a focal point, and that's Adrian Peterson, Godfather.
That is crazy. What an odd situation that is right now. I personally don't think Adrian Peterson is going to play. I still don't think – I think they get the reins to Chris Thompson. They'll go out. They'll pick somebody up. I just think that relationship is just completely distraught right now, and there's no way that you could bring AP. If I was AP, I'd be like, just cut me. Seriously. I mean, you told me I couldn't play last week, but now all of a sudden you need me. So I would just kind of call the bluff and tell them to cut me. But I just think it's still going to be Chris Thompson.
Would you record a phone call with him and then put that into a video?
That was awkward. That was completely awkward. The difference with Adrian Peterson, though, is he's asked to be cut a couple years ago by a couple different teams, and he barely found work again. This time, if he has to be cut, he has to remember he's still in debt for a lot of money. He owes a lot of people. He better just stay there and try to play nice for that $4 million because he may not get picked up again.
No, he will, because there's a guy named Bill Belichick. That's probably chopping the bit to throw him on team. So I'm sure if they cut AP tomorrow, he'll be a Patriot the next day.
Bill Belichick is looking at Adrian Peterson going, I can fix him.
He might be able to fix him 4 years ago.
He can live the Patriot way.
He's not getting any younger. It's not like Corey Dillon.
Bill Belichick also has Sony Michel and James White
we'll
back
get
there,
all,
too.
We'll get all into that as the show goes on. But Darius Geis, oh, man, I feel for this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, every time. It's always at the beginning of the season, too. He hasn't even made it to the middle of the season where he's all dinged up to play. He gets hurt early. It's just, A couple other guys, Juju Smith-Schuster, he got injured late in the loss to the Patriots. Six catches for 78 yards. He's gonna be questionable this week to play. So you just want to monitor that. I think he will play. And then Joe Mixon, six carries, 10 yards. He left with an ankle injury. Here's a guy again you're relying on to be your RB2 in a lot of leagues, and big things coming from Joe Mixon. Second year as the full-time starter, and now you might have to look at Giovanni Bernard. Well, he always rears his head.
Yep, all the time.
How does it happen?
It does. It does. I mean, we'll get into waiver wire pickups, but if you have Joe Mixon, you might want to be taking a look at his handcuff, which it seems has been his handcuff his entire career.
Right. Those two have been, you know, and Joe Mixon hasn't been in the league as long as Giovanni Bernard.
But he was handcuffed to Jeremy Hill before then.
Yeah, exactly. He's everybody's handcuff.
That's right.
Everyone.
Oh, man. Just interesting. So, yeah, some big-time injuries coming out of week one. Just going to have to monitor it. Some of these situations, depending on these guys down the road, or you might have to look at the waiver wire. We'll get into it a little bit later on, but it's time. For Kills and Thrills, this is a segment that we love to talk about, guys who helped shape your week one in fantasy and guys that help shape your week in fantasy and not in a good way. Right down the list, right from the get-go, as unfortunately for Tyreek Hill, he went out. Sammy Watkins has a career game. Sammy Watkins, definitely a thrill. Picked up the slack for Tyreek Hill. With personal highs of 198 yards, three touchdowns, was on a lot of teams' benches, too.
Tons of benches. Because nobody has any faith in Sammy Watkins. Why would you start him, especially week one?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Tyreek Hill goes out, you know, the alert goes out, and you go, oh, man, I had him on my bench.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And now you play, and we've talked about this when we did wide receivers a couple weeks ago, Godfather. You can't rely on Sammy Watkins every week because you don't know what you're getting from week to week for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, absolutely right. All the talent in the world. He really does. He has the size. He has the speed. He has the ability. But he's just, you know, he's just shown that he can't be consistent. He really can't. But Andy Reid always has, you know, we still have Bill Belichick, but he always has the wherewithal to get the most out of everybody. He really does. And when he went there, the first thing I said was, wow. I mean, I looked at a guy like James Thrash and Todd Pinkston, okay, in Philadelphia, the years of Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
And he made James Thrash look pretty darn good. So just imagine what he's doing with Sammy Watkins. So I'm really not surprised, but it'll just be interesting to see if he can continue week to week.
No doubt. So Sammy Watkins for week one, he absolutely thrilled you.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Another player that is back with his original team after a couple stints a couple other places, and that's DeSean Jackson. Man, was it welcome back home for him. He had two 50-plus yard touchdown receptions. He also was Philly's most targeted receiver, eight catches, 154 yards, two touchdowns. I don't have to tell you, Tony, DeSean Jackson came to play in week one.
He did. And listen, when you're right, you're right. You're wrong, you're wrong. And I'll be honest, I told everybody I would not start DeSean Jackson only because I did not think this would be his role on this team. And it's amazing. You get a guy like Zach Ertz who barely caught the ball, and the focus was DeSean Jackson. Now, I don't know if this is going to continue week to week, but I'll tell you what, just watching the game in depth and seeing where Carson looked, DeSean Jackson was uncoverable. He really was. They could not cover him. There were so many other mouths that they had to worry about. And I'll tell you, this is big for fantasy owners going forward because he could be a really good – he could be a wide receiver too, which is something nobody ever thought he would even be at this point in the season.
Even in his prime, I don't think he was a two, was he?
He was always like a three.
Yeah.
He was always a three. In fantasy, he could be a wide receiver too. And that's big as a guy who ever got drafted in the 10th round.
And basically a guy that you can't leave out of lineup from week to week because if he's going to keep getting targeted like that, like he did in week one, I mean, Carson Wentz, you can tell.
Yeah.
The love is there.
Oh, yeah.
He's always wanted a deep pick like that.
There is definite chemistry.
Yeah, so definitely we had to you might want to pencil him in for week two and see how this whole thing plays out as your wide receiver two, as Tony just mentioned. But DeSean Jackson definitely thrilled you.
Show me the money!
And then we go to the kills. Mm. We're going back and forth with these. But Mike Evans was supposed to be a wide receiver one. On Friday, he missed practice with the flu bug. But you're like, he's going to play, right? He did. He caught two of his five targets, two receptions, 28 yards. Yeah, but you had to put him in your lineup. But Mike Evans, due to flu bug, he absolutely killed you in week one.
I think one of the main parts is because Jameis Winston did not look good at all.
Yeah.
Is it me, or does something like that always seem to happen to Mike Evans?
But then
he'll do something will happen to where you just lose your faith in Mike Evans, and then scorched earth the next week. Yeah. It's like night and day.
You can't bench him. That's the thing. You can't bench the guy. You drafted him as your number one wide receiver. I picked him to be a top three receiver by the end of the year. So I mean, you know, people are drafting him to be a wide receiver one. How do you bench the guy? So you live or die with him, and hopefully you live a lot longer than you die. So we'll see what happens.
You big dummy.
Another guy that actually thrilled you this week in week one is a guy that, well, Tony, I did not agree with this when we did the quarterback show preview a couple weeks ago, but the caveat in this is if you're playing the Dolphins defense, you are putting up huge numbers, and Lamar Jackson, the former Heisman Trophy winner.
Man.
Yes, a 99.4 QBR, 85% completion percentage. He passed for 324 yards, 5 touchdowns. Tony, I know you've been chirping. I've been seeing on the Philly Influencer.com that you said that this guy was going to have a huge year. And so far, week one, he came to play, baby.
Everybody thought I was nuts. Everybody thought I was crazy. And again, I preface by saying I understand it's the Miami Dolphins. But look beyond the numbers. Watch the game. If anybody watched the game, they could see he became a pass-first quarterback. He became a mechanically sound quarterback. He still has a few accuracy issues, but he was throwing one of the tightest spirals I've ever seen. He barely ran the ball. I mean, this offense is catered to him, and let alone Hollywood Brown that we're going to get to earlier. I mean, Mark Ingram, who looked fantastic. We talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, that offense is catered around Lamar Jackson, and I still think he's this year's Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to keep saying it. He is going to be a stud week to week for fantasy purposes.
Him and Hollywood Brown were just playing catch. It was just a game of catch.
Hollywood Brown got 14 snaps. All right, and that's the thing. A lot of people don't even realize he only had 14 snaps.
Yeah. That's
and
it.
He scored two touchdowns. 14 snaps. All he played that game.
Yeah, Marquise Brown. For guys that don't know, that was his NFL debut. He was questionable to even play in this game. He had 4 receptions, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns. And you're right. Those two were just throwing like nobody else is even on the field.
Somebody already owns him in my league.
Well, you got
somebody drafted Hollywood Brown. I was like, come on!
You're like a 14 team league.
Somebody's smart. They are, because he came out. Remember, he had a lot of baggage behind him, but he was known as the top receiver in the draft, and he got drafted below other guys because of the baggage that he had. So he's showing right now he's the real deal.
This is also the same league, though, where somebody drafted the Bears defense in the second round.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, they got a lot of points in week one.
They did okay there, too.
Is this the Stevie Wonder League? Or did they just feel out who they're going to... Anyway, this is our first handcuff for thrill. Our handcuff for thrills is Lamar Jackson and Marquise Hollywood Brown. We handcuffed them because they both together were thrilling.
Show me the money!
Another kill.
I agree.
Brandon Cooks.
Oh.
And Godfather, you said it. Oof. You cannot rely on Brandon Cooks from week to week. 6 targets. He only had 2 catches, just 39 yards.
Who was the star of that game? Cooper Kupp. I keep saying Cooper Kupp is Jared Goff's number one receiver. Brandon Cooks is not going to be a consistent fantasy receiver. And I picked him as one of my stiffs this week on my report. I didn't think he was going to have a good game. And I continue to feel that he's just going to get lost in that offense, and you see it all right.
Yeah, I can't say anything else about Brandon Cooks. Except for, I'm glad I didn't draft him, but I know there's a lot of guys out there that, man, you're going to have to ride that Brandon Cooks wave out. Because then next week, watch. Next week, they have the Saints in week two. Now watch, he'll have 150 yards receiving and a touchdown. And he'll go from an overnight kill
to a thrill. No problem. Just like that.
But for right now, week one, definite kill. And the Godfather told you so.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott. He thrills you.
Man.
A perfect passer rating, 25 of 32, 405 yards, 4 touchdowns. We were talking about all this talk about Ezekiel Elliott and everything else. Well, guess what? Oh, yeah, Dak's like, I'm trying to get this new paper, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, Dak's got a chip on his shoulder, too. He's got a reason to play. And, man, did he light up the Giants.
Yeah, no doubt. And along with that, a player I mentioned a couple weeks ago as well, and actually last week, that's Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is a clear number two receiver in his second year in this league. In this offense, Dak loves Michael Gallup. You're going to see a lot more of those guys as they get more and more familiar in the second year playing together, because Michael Gallup is a big physical receiver that has great hands, and he's a perfect complement to everything that's going on in that offense. So I put these two in a second handcuff, because Michael Gallup and Dak Prescott, they both thrilled you in week one, and we expect bigger things for them as the season goes on.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
And then both of you guys have told me, and I asked you again last week, what to do with Sony Michel. And people that have him out there, I feel your pain. Because when a running back has 15 carries for 14 yards, he's getting the touches.
Yeah.
You're begging for your running back to get 15 touches in a game. But 14 yards?
14 yards.
Because you cannot rely on Patriots running backs, but especially after he gets 15 carries for 14 yards.
Why anybody, after all this time, this isn't like some new philosophy.
Yeah.
Think about all the great Patriots running backs through the years. You know, you got that one good year out of Corey Dillon. Okay.
That was it.
That's the one guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget about Curtis Martin.
Yeah. Curtis Martin.
I forgot about him.
Well, he actually.
That was so long ago.
Well, they went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah.
And after Bill left, Curtis couldn't wait to get out of there either.
Right.
You're right.
He followed Bill to the Jets, and the rest is history.
Right.
He's in Canton now.
Yeah.
But there's been so many guys. I mean, we even saw an up-and-coming guy for the Patriots that got hurt at the Pro Bowl. Playing sandlot football.
Yeah.
And never played again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a curse. It's a running back curse, and it's been going on for 20 years with the Patriots. You can't rely on any of them. Maybe from week to week, maybe James White, but the rest of them,
Corey Dillon is actually getting the same kind of fantasy production right now as James White and Sony Michel.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
So Sony Michel, he absolutely kills you.
You big dummy.
In week three. We move on, guys. We got to keep it going because we got to tell some about the players that are out there that could be out there in your waiver wire that could help you out. We know it's early. You don't want to give up on guys that you drafted, but you also don't want to miss out on guys that could help you at some point in the season because they're starting. I mean, they started out pretty well.
And also, if you've got somebody like, say, a Nick Foles or a Tyreek Hill or somebody who suffered a major injury.
Darius Geis,
you're going to have to replace them.
So, yeah, you can't.
You got to get somebody to fill that spot.
You
got to
stay active. You have to stay active, especially if you had injuries in week one. We start with a guy you look for in your league right before we came on the air. We just mentioned him a minute ago. We'll say it again. Marquise Brown, Hollywood. What foot injury? He had a foot injury prior to the debut. His NFL debut on Sunday, he caught 4 of his 5 targets, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Dolphins. Again, the caveat is they played the Dolphins. But as his rapport with Lamar Jackson continues, so will Brown's numbers. So Marquise Brown, if he's available, pick him up. He's going to keep on doing this throughout the season.
No, I agree. I think between him and Mark Andrews, who's another guy that's probably on some waiver wire, benches or waiver wire leagues. They're both two guys that Lamar looked to all day long.
Yeah.
A lot of Mark Andrews, the tight end, a lot of hype about him. He had like 8 catches, 100-plus yards, and touchdown. He looked to Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, all day long. I know it was the Dolphins, but still, just his vision to include them in the game is what's going to take them forward and make these guys very productive.
Yeah, Mark Andrews, he actually led the team in targets. He actually is only owned in 51% of leagues, according to ESPN. So 8 receptions, 108 yards, and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, another guy that he's probably out there. And if you're in a league where you have to, where you missed out on the big names as far as tight ends, this could be a guy because he's going to be consistent throughout the whole season as Lamar Jackson has been. He's been rebuilt. He's bigger, stronger, faster, and he throws now.
Yeah. Man, does he throw. Staying along that that rule of, you know, the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who plays against the Dolphins. Patriots defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
We pick that up.
Yes. And dare I say that one of these running backs for the Patriots is going to have a huge game. As I just told you, don't touch any Patriots running backs. But one of them is going to have a big game. We don't know who the hell it's going to be yet.
No, we don't.
But that's
the thing too. That's the game you play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John Brown is a guy. 7 receptions, 123 yards, a touchdown versus the Jets. We said it here last week. He will lead the team in yardage and receptions. Josh Allen loves him and Cole Beasley. And John Brown is only he's only owned right now 35% of the ESPN leagues. Go out and get you a John Brown, guys. Go out and get you a John Brown because he's going to keep on producing all season long.
I've put my claim in on him.
Already. you couldn't wait. Oh, that's because you missed out on Brown. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, you got another Brown. It's like, I'll just grab the other Brown.
All right, I'll just go get him now.
Giovanni Bernard, we mentioned earlier, he only had 9 touches for 63 yards. But this Joe Mixon thing, if he's out, Giovanni's in. The guy that spurned. We are in South Bend, Indiana. He spurned Notre Dame to go to North Carolina many, many years ago. And I know if you remember that fact, that you probably don't want to touch him, but I'm telling you that when Giovanni Bernard is a starter, he's a productive starter in that offense, and you got to pick him up. You at least got to think about it because Giovanni, he produces when he's out there.
He's smooth, man. He's smooth. I like it.
We should conduct a search in this building of guys who who will not touch Giovanni Bernard
because
of that.
He spurned him?
I'm sure I can find a couple.
Yeah, I know.
Tune in next week for the results.
Jameson Crowder of the Jets. Well, all he did in his first game at the Jets, 14 catches on 17 targets, 99 yards. Sam Darnold loves him. He was the most targeted receiver by far as they just let Sam Darnold throw the ball out 41 times. Godfather, Sam Darnold throwing the football 41 times in week one.
You know what's crazy? It's crazy because Le'Veon Bell, you look at that game, and I watched that game because what I do is I actually watch the condensed games of every single one just so I try not to miss anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Le'Veon Bell was on the field 100% of the time.
Wow.
Never came off.
Wow.
So it's amazing to me that Darnold threw that many passes. I'm not a Sam Darnold fan.
Right.
A lot of people are. I think he's an overrated Chad Pennington, in my opinion. I don't think he's that good. And I think he showed he's not that good. But Jameson Crowder – He had a really good game. But here's the thing, guys. Before we came on the air, Patriots just traded Demaryius Thomas to the New York Jets.
Right.
Okay, so now Demaryius Thomas becomes a go-to receiver on the New York Jets. So it could be pretty interesting to see how that hurts Jameson Crowder's value, maybe even like a Robbie Anderson. But I think Crowder will always be open in the slot, so it could be the safety valve that Darnold goes to all the time.
It's clear that Demaryius has lost a step. But it's going to be interesting how they work. Even as you said, Robbie Anderson and Jameson Crowder, and now you bring in a veteran that's been to Super Bowls, won Super Bowls, and everything else. And Demaryius Thomas at the end of his career, I mean, if they're allowed Sam Darnold to pull up the ball this much, then somebody's not going to get the biscuit as much as they want to on the season.
No, I think this all comes down to, I think we're finding out that Adam Gase just probably isn't capable to be a head coach in the National Football League. So
really?
I think that's basically, I think that's what it comes down to. I think this guy's better. Listen, there's guys in their careers that are better off suited as being coordinators. I lived through the Ray Rhodes era in Philadelphia. He was a better defensive coordinator than he was a head coach.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
The same thing goes to me, Adam Gase. He's probably a heck of an offensive coordinator, but not good enough to be a head coach. So I think that's what's going on right now. You'll find it out in New York. That's what happened in Miami. And, you know, he'll probably be an offensive coordinator somewhere in 2 years, and he'll look good again. So I think that's all. That's basically what's going on right now.
You know who's going to love themselves an overrated Chad Pennington?
Who's that?
The Miami Dolphins in a couple years.
You better believe it. You better believe it. They loved him down there.
As an overrated Chad Pennington, I'm not sure.
I think that's just called Chad Pennington.
Yeah.
Look, you got to think about it. The guy had the luxury in college of throwing to always wide open Randy Moss.
Yeah. Huh. Tell me you're not going to be successful with that.
You're going to get drafted. Yeah. You're going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Marshall, it don't even matter.
How does Chad Pennington's highlight tape look? Coming out of college. Mm. How does his end one tape look?
You know what it is? It's a lot of throws to Randy Moss.
Just Randy Moss catching the ball and then, you know.
And then celebrating, high-fiving.
Yeah, right.
Couple other guys to look at. on the waiver wire, two more I want to mention before we move on. Tight ends. I know we haven't talked that much about tight ends in the preview shows and stuff, but there is a couple of guys I want to mention that they could be big-time production guys this season for you, especially if you missed out on the big names. The Lions drafted T.J. Hockenson they drafted in the top 10 to be this guy. 6 catches, 131 yards, a touchdown. Again, they were playing the Cardinals. But the Lions were up big in this game before they ended up being a tie because that's the Lions being the Lions.
That is going to be the Lions season right there.
But you look at this kid, he's only owned in 30% of the ESPN leagues right now. T.J. Hockenson, go get you one. If you need a tight end, you can't go wrong. You know they're going to play from behind more times than not the Lions are. You know he's going to be active in the passing game. They drafted him as a top 10 pick to do just exactly what he did in week one, and he's going to be doing it throughout the season.
I agree. You go get him. You go get him now. I mean, he's instantly the number two option in Detroit. Number one is Kenny Galladay. Number two, because Hockenson. I mean, this is a guy you definitely want on your team. He's a safety valve for Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's already running for his life at the time anyway because that line stinks.
Yeah.
So because that line stinks, he rolls out, he's going to find TJ all day long. So it's a really good waiver wire pick.
It's a really good thing that he's not a blocking tight end either.
Yeah,
man, what a waste!
Yeah, his job is to catch the foosball.
Right.
One other guy, and you probably didn't stay up late on Monday Night Football for the late game, but we're going to give you one guy that you have to keep an eye on. That's not named Josh Jacobs, and that's Darren Waller. Caught 7 of 8 targets, 70 yards. Remember this: Jared Cook was a Pro Bowl tight end in this offense just last season. He's taking over that tight end position that Jared Cook was in last year. Again, he produced from the first game of this season. If you need a tight end, if you have to start one, and he's still out there, Darren Waller, pick him up. Pick him up and ride with them all season.
101 targets last year went to Jared Cook. 101. And now there's no more Jared Cook. There's no more Antonio Brown, even though he never played a game. That's a lot of targets going around. And, again, Darren Waller was actually my diamond in the rough pick for our DraftKings last night, a segment that's sponsored by my Fox Sports radio spot. So he actually really played well. He was turning heads all training camp. So this kid can play, and he's going to get the ball. He's going to get the ball a lot. He's going to get it often. So big, big pickup if you can get him right now.
I want to ask both of you guys, because the big story, of course, this week was everything that happened with the Raiders and Antonio Brown, and then Antonio Brown getting cut, getting signed by the Patriots to a one-year deal. He recoups some of that money. He could possibly recoup all of that money if he plays nice, because what came out yesterday was he, as far as the Patriots put that carrot in front of them that you play nice, and next year we'll pick up the $20 million option. So he recoups all $30 million possibly that he had guaranteed that he would have gotten in 3 years with the Raiders.
Right.
So, but what, I mean, Jim, I'll start with you. I mean, what do you make of the situation? How do you think it's going to pan out?
I still think he's going to go to arbitration for the money. I still, you know, I still think this, the whole Antonio Brown versus the Raiders thing is not over yet, especially after the little detail came out today.
Yeah.
That, you know, the video that he put out with the phone call from Gruden.
Oh, yeah. The California law.
And apparently Gruden knew about it.
Oh.
And gave his consent.
That's not good.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
No.
So Antonio Brown, I think, is going to be fine financially if he's not already. I still think he's going to turn into one of those guys for the Patriots that he might be one of those guys that you cannot risk not starting. You know?
Yeah, from a fantasy perspective. But I want to talk about the chemistry perspective. I mean, Godfather.
Oh, hell. If it doesn't work chemistry-wise, then he's out.
Belichick's not putting up with this.
No, Belichick doesn't put up with it. If it doesn't work chemistry, if he doesn't play nice, he doesn't get that money recouped from the at least through the Patriots' pockets anyway.
No.
So.
And.
I mean, I see that whole move for the Patriots as, well, let's, why not? You know, why not throw that carrot out there? You know, put all the incentives into another year, make him earn it. Why not,
Tony? What's your thoughts on that?
Remember, they tried to trade a first round pick for him.
Yeah,
and
they did.
They wanted him on the team last year. They did, and they got no. I mean, I think this is going to be more. We're talking about Randy Moss, the Patriots. I think this is going to be more like Dante Stallworth to the Patriots. I don't. And catch 14 balls every game. I just don't think it's going to happen. But what he gives them is he gives Brady a bona fide Pro Bowl talent at the wide receiver position that he hasn't had in a long time. I know Julian Edelman as a Super Bowl MVP. I get that. But this is a different kind of receiver.
Yeah.
And I think everything's going to be fine. I don't think there's going to be any issues whatsoever. They're going to make mockeries of it in every press conference. It's going to be, you know, the long-going joke. It's, you know, Antonio and Tom, Antonio and Bill. I've seen the same thing in Philly with T.O. and Andy Reid. But at the end, that kind of blew up. So we'll see where this goes. But for this year at least, I think it's a no-brainer. It'll work fine.
And I think it'll work next year even if it winds up getting picked up again.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he'll do the arbitration, but I think he'd be happy to take the $20 million next year and win another Super Bowl, and maybe that's the last year of Tom Brady. Who knows? But I think he'll definitely play next year with no issue.
As long as Tom Brady stays healthy and still looks like Tom Brady, he's going to be fine.
Guys, we're missing one big point here. This is an embarrassment of riches. You have Josh Gordon on one side, Pro Bowler, if he can stay in the field. You have AB on the other side and Julian Edelman. This is an embarrassment of riches. This is the best wide receiving core. Forget about the Browns because they crapped all over the field on Sunday.
Right.
This, with Tom Brady at the end of his career, if they keep these guys together for 2 years, who stops all three of these receivers on a week-in, week-out basis?
You can't.
Not just that. Leave this carrot out there, guys. Think about this. In week six, here comes Gronk. Knock that door. Say, you know what, guys? I kind of missed this.
Yes.
I want to play. I'm coming back, and I'm going to sign a one-year deal for $1 million, and we're going to go win a Super Bowl. Just think about that.
Gronk just wants to have fun.
Yeah.
And what more fun? Well, he knows there's no way he's going to get a double team with those other three receivers out there.
Oh, no.
There's no way.
this is a heaven for Gronk. He can go out. He can do his body shots all night long on the yacht. He can come in, barely read a playbook, go out there, catch a couple of passes, go do more body shots, do the same thing next week.
Yep.
It's a perfect scenario for him.
Yeah. Gronk is almost like a football animal. Like he could just run on instinct.
It's,
you know,
it's just one of those things where he didn't have the love for it, and didn't think he could go through an entire season. But if he comes in week 10.
Yeah, if he comes in mid-season, he doesn't have to deal with, hell, half the season's worth of aches and pains.
He can get in football shape, and then when the playoffs hit, he's still healthy, and they make their playoff run. They're going to get a first-round bye. And like I said, it's an embarrassment of riches because you still have Julian Edelman. You have Josh Gordon. Here's the other thing. If Josh Gordon messes up, you still have Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I like Gronk has to put on like a bunch of weight. Oh no. How's he gonna do that?
Yeah. We'll have to stay tuned. The first week the AB's gonna play is this week, and it's gonna be against
the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, indeed. It's gonna be crazy. Guys,
I'm hoping that Red Zone doesn't conk out on the Miami game like it did the season, you know, like all through, like each of the Florida games had their technical issues with Red Zone.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, oh, come on!
Guys, we've made it to the 2-minute warning.
So soon.
Wow.
I know. It was a quick show, but we hit a lot of ground.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I'm not saying that we didn't. I'm just, wow.
No, I'm just saying, wow. I didn't realize it was a 2-minute warning already.
No doubt. Because, again, we flow, baby. We flow.
We've got the time management skills of the Miami Dolphins.
We have, actually, something that's going to be really cool. I have something really cool for you guys. I'm gonna give you some matchups.
Oh, okay.
And you have to tell me who you're going to pick. It's some tough matchups out there for week 2, but you're going to help out the peoples as far as making some decisions. Jim, we'll start with you.
All right.
You have Deshaun Watson at home against Jacksonville or Aaron Rodgers at home against Minnesota.
Man. I didn't.
I told you it wasn't going to be easy.
Aaron Rodgers, for all the crap that Mitch Trubisky got for not looking, probably having to play a few snaps here and there in preseason, Aaron Rodgers didn't look that great either.
No.
He just happened to get a touchdown.
He had a Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, he had a Jimmy Graham in there. He had that one big play. That was it. They were basically identical from every other standpoint. So I didn't like the way that Aaron Rodgers looked on Thursday night. Deshaun Watson, though.
Yeah. He was hurt, but
he is hurt, but he kept playing, and I mean he's a tough guy.
Went from field to medical tent.
Yeah, he really did, and the way that the Chiefs carved up Jacksonville, in Jacksonville, mind you, I like Deshaun Watson.
All right, you're going with Deshaun Watson. All right. Oh, for you, my friend Tony, Matt Ryan at home against Philly, or Carson Wentz on the road in ATL. I know they're on the same field, but not at the same time.
Oh, man, you got to give me a hard one here. Listen, I'll go Matt Ryan. I'm going to go Matt Ryan. I got to take the homer out of it. I think this is a bad matchup for the Eagles in week 2. I think Atlanta's going to come in hungry. Atlanta got killed by Minnesota, made Matt Ryan look pedestrian, made the offense look pedestrian, and I think they're going to come to play. And the Eagles offense, the Eagles defense looked horrendous in that game.
Yeah,
and even in the second half, Washington beat them more than they beat them. So more than they beat themselves, I should say. So I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game. So I would take definitely Matt Ryan in this matchup.
Jim, another quarterback matchup. I already know where Tony would go with this. Lamar Jackson at home against Arizona or Kyler Murray at Baltimore? Yes, I know they're on the same field again.
Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Come on, that. I mean, really? Arizona? Let's just get Lamar Jackson's confidence sky high.
Oh, yeah, the first 2 games.
With these dog crap defenses.
Hey, Kyler did have a nice comeback, though, but this time he's on the road against Baltimore, so it's going to be interesting. I would ride with you on that one. Tony, we're doing running backs this time, buddy. Phillip Lindsay at home against Chicago or Duke Johnson at home versus Jacksonville?
Ooh. That's a tough one because obviously Duke Johnson, it looks like he's going to split carries a little bit with Carlos Hyde. But I think the defense of Chicago is just too good for Phil Lindsay. So I'll go Duke Johnson all day.
Yeah, for how bad the offense looked for the Bears, the defense looked ready.
No doubt. So, Jim, Chris Thompson against Dallas at home, or you've mentioned him a couple times, Giovanni Bernard at home versus San Fran.
I like Dallas's defense too much. I don't think the Redskins are going to have much as far as a running game goes. I like Gio Bernard, actually.
Yeah. All right. All right. Tony, for you, John Brown, Buffalo's at the Giants, or Jameson Crowder, another guy we mentioned earlier, at home versus Cleveland.
Oh, man, it's a tough one. I'm gonna go Jameson Crowder. I think Jameson Crowder is gonna be that poor man's Anquan Boldin for the year. He's gonna probably catch between 75 to 79 balls, always be consistent week to week as a slot receiver, and a nice PPR find. So I'll go with Jameson Crowder.
All right, I got two more guys. Tight end wise, Jim, David Njoku at the Jets, or Jimmy Graham at home against the Vikings? These weren't supposed to be easy.
No, they're not. Give me Jimmy Graham.
You take Jimmy Graham over Njoku, huh?
Yeah. Mainly because I think he's going to go to Aaron Rodgers and say, "Hey, I want to go jump in the stands."
Let's do more of what we did last
week. Yeah, let's go. Remember that one thing that you did right?
Yeah.
Let's go do more of that.
And to round out the 2-minute warning, Tony, Saints defense at Ravens or – I'm sorry, Saints defense at Rams or Seahawks defense at Pittsburgh?
Oh, I'm going with Seahawks defense at Pittsburgh. Definitely. Pittsburgh's a team I've been down on since the offseason. So, and they showed to me that they look like they're going to have a down year this year. So, Seahawks all day.
And that's the end of the 2-minute warning. And that's kind of how we wrap up the show this week. Trying to get you ready for week two and recap a little bit of what happened in the first glorious week of week one. And we'll be here each and every week to do it for you. Of course, you can also do one other thing. Check out our buddy Tony, the Godfather Cotillo, on Twitter at TCotillo23, but also the website, thephillyinfluencer.com. He's got a great article out there about how to make any sense of this whole Philadelphia Eagles running game situation between Jordan Howard and all these other guys that are floating out there. So go to thephillyinfluencer.com and check out that as well. Of course, you can always send us your questions right up until kickoff on Twitter.
RosterDocs, WSBT. That's where we are on Twitter.
No doubt. For Jim, Tony, and myself, it's the Roster Doctors on WSBT. And we'll check you out next week, guys.